Thank you, young ladies. VBS dance. Thank you, Brother Jim, for leading us in song this morning. Welcome again, Cache Creek Baptist Church. I'm glad I could see you all here. I'm glad you're online. You can come with us and join in and worship in that fashion this morning. Anybody celebrate the 4th of July yesterday? Yeah. Food, fireworks, all the chaos that comes with it. Seems like it's a weekend-long event, sometimes a couple week-long event. If you hear the fireworks, it'd be last week and all this week. You'll hear them from your neighbor's house or down the road or something. Celebrating our country. How old is our country? Doing the math, 1776, carry one. 245 years old. 245. Everyone knew that, right? Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? It's a long time to us. In history, our size and our power and the way we came to be and the way we spread across this continent, we would have been considered something of an empire. I have a list of a few other empires. The Assyrian Empire lasted for 300 years. The Babylonian Empire lasted for 300 years. The Greeks, 350. The Ottoman, 600. The Kush, 700. Ethiopian Empire, 837 years. That's a pretty specific number. The Romans, we know the Romans, greater than 1,000 years, depending on how you look at it. The Byzantine Empire, 1,123 years. The Pandian Empire, which is all of southern India, 1,850 years. And the Egyptians, which were somewhere around 3,000 years as a force in their context. Doesn't make us look so old anymore, does it? What do all these have in common? They were around a lot longer than we are. And none of them exist in their empire form today. None of them exist anymore. I show you this list to say that our freedoms offered by this great nation we live in, and it is a great nation, our freedoms in this place will not last forever. They are not guaranteed. There's only one freedom that is guaranteed to last forever, and that's your Christian freedom. It's bought for you by the blood of Jesus. And no one can ever take it away. We're going to look at this freedom today in three parts. Christian freedom means you were called. Christian freedom is not freedom to sin, and Christian freedom means you serve. Three parts. I did not tell you the passage. It's Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. We're going to look at what Paul has to say about freedom. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for these opportunities to celebrate things in our life, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, the birth of our nation. We thank you for all these things, and we thank you for your holy word. We just ask that you have it guide us today. Let your words set upon our hearts as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Before we dive in this morning, let's figure out where we are in our text. Paul writes this letter, and he writes it to the churches, plural, in Galatia. This is in contrast to letters like 1 Corinthians, who write to the church in Corinth. What is the difference? The difference is that Galatia is an entire geographical region in this area, and Corinth is a city. If you're standing in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, everything north would be Galatia. To the west of Galatia, you would have Asia. To the east of Galatia, you'd have Cappadocia. These are regions. Southeast is Israel that we know of. So it's not a city on the sea, but a vast region. So he says churches, plural. Secondly, as he does in all his letters, Paul writes to commend them and to disciple them and to point out issues. One of these issues in this region and all across this area is a mixing of Christianity with Jewish practices. This is a common problem. Why? Because they were all Jewish before they met Jesus. So they have Jesus and Christianity, but they have all the laws and customs that their family has followed for generations. So they kind of blend them together. Believers in Christ, but holding to the customs of their Jewish religion. And forcing others to do the same. This is where we find our text today. It's sandwiched between Paul speaking to the false teaching that it takes belief in Jesus and circumcision to be saved. It's sandwiched between that and what it looks like to have a spirit-filled belief. Then, after our verses today, he goes on to lay out the works of the flesh. And he gets to our famous passage we know about the fruits of the Spirit. Earlier in this chapter, he said, "You are not justified by the things you do, but in spirit-filled belief." That's important. Spirit-filled belief. Our text today should be viewed in this context. It's in the context, in the middle of this, being bound to customs and laws. That's what they're doing. They're bound to their own traditions. It's in this context and what the differences of the flesh and the spirit produce in your life. This is where we find our passage on freedom today. Let's begin. Christian freedom means you were called. Our text says you were called to freedom, but what does that mean? There are two parts here to figure out. The first is being called. We know this in Scripture. We've heard this before, but do we understand it? How were you called? Let's turn to the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So our faithful God called us into a relationship with His Son. Romans 8:30. For those whom He predestined, He also called. And those who called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. So God chose us and called us and then justified us and will glorify us. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purposes and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So this is a holy calling, not because of anything we have done, but because of God and what He has done. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, now we get to it. We could not earn it and did not deserve it, and yet God has called us to Himself, and this calling is through the gospel. How you come to Jesus and His glory is through the gospel message. That's what that just said. It is a calling because it is indeed audible through his gospel. You read it, you speak it. Someone else told it to you. Jesus is the Son of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived for us and he died for us and he defeated death for us. All who hear this message and turn from their sins have had the call of God on their lives, have heard this call to freedom in their lives. It is these people who have found freedom in Jesus. Freedom is the next thing to see here. Called to freedom. This is not the freedom we walk around with in this country. The freedom we take for granted. You may not have thought you took it for granted until this past year. This past year might have shed some light on what we have to lose in our country. It is the same way with our faith. We take it for granted. We put it on a shelf when we do not want to display it. We think it'll just always be there when we need it. It is always there for those who have heard the call, though most who put their faith on a shelf and didn't go do whatever they want have not heard the call. What is this call like? It's not like our phones we carry around today, is it? This is what we think of when we hear the word call. It's our phones. It's not like picking up your cell phone and sending someone the voicemail because you don't know the number or you don't have the time or you're just ignoring the person. It's not like that. Any of you younger than me in here probably don't even know we had phones hooked to our walls. They were not cell phones. Did anybody have the 20-foot cord so you could go all the way around your house and talk on your phone? Yep, some head nods. Longer the cord, the better, right? Until you had to untangle it. This calling would be like if you had that red phone on the end of your desk that was covered in the glass cover like in the Batman movies, the old Batman movies, on the commissioner's desk. The direct line between Commissioner Gordon and Batman, no matter what was going on, if that phone rang, it was answered. Right? It was important. It was from Batman. Can't get any more important. Batman needed to relay a message or Gordon needed help. Whatever it was, that phone did not go unanswered. It did not go to voicemail. It was not ignored. This is the same with the call of God in your life. Everyone walking around in darkness, everyone destined to finish their life here and then go to hell. Then God calls your name. There's no mute or voicemail when God calls you. The gospel hits you and changes you and points you in a new direction. Peter says this call pulls you from the darkness and into the marvelous light. This is the call to freedom in your life. The chains of hell cannot hold you if God has called you. Has he? All who believe in the Son have been called. But what have we been called to? Christian freedom is not freedom to sin. We will get to what we are called to, but first what the calling is not. Your Christian freedom is not an opportunity for the flesh. This is what our text says, but what does it mean? All those who are called to this Christian freedom are done so by God through his Son on the cross and his Spirit inside of you. The Holy Trinity at work in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." No freedom of salvation without God's Spirit. We have looked at this before. This war between the Spirit inside of you and your own flesh. your own desires. We've said before that we must feed this spirit in prayer and worship and study and fellowship with other believers so that our desires of the flesh do not take over. This is why being here in this place is important. Where do you think the desires of the flesh have the biggest opportunity to win? In your house and on the couch in your pajamas? Or in the house of God with the people of God? Watching online is convenient, but it is not a replacement for this place. So we must lean into God's Spirit inside of us to have this Christian freedom. Now, we all fall short. Every one of us. But hear this. If there is no war within you, then you have a problem. No war means no spirit. No war means the desire of the flesh will rule you. Paul tells us in this very chapter what the desires of the flesh look like. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom. That's important. If you were going to describe the world around us today, there may better be no better verses to go to than this list. Now let's pause for a second and realize that every single one of us have had issues with something on this list. Hopefully not many things on the list, but most definitely something on the list. Probably not the sorcery one. Any graduates of Hogwarts in here? No? Harry Potter? No one? Okay. How about the one about jealousy? Or envy? Or anger? How about idolatry? Probably one of these. There are many things on this list, and Paul says this list is bigger. But what we should see here is that our faith in Jesus Christ frees us from slavery to this list. This is why Paul is speaking in terms of freedom. Maybe some things in here creep up, and maybe we still battle these things, but freedom in Jesus means these things own you no more. Whatever the desires of the flesh were in your life, the call from the God through the gospel says this is not your life anymore. Do we get this? Paul continues his list with the fruits of the Spirit. We know these, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things... there is no law. The whole reason this list exists is to point you to what Christian freedom looks like. It does not look like the desires of the flesh. It does not look like say a prayer and then go do whatever you want. These evils will devour you if you let them. Paul pleads to everyone. He says, it is not what you do that saves you. God is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Our actions could never save us. His first century audience was being circumcised to be saved. Think about that. Paul steps in and says, that is not it. It is the message you have been given, awakening your heart, filling you with God's Spirit and tearing you from the desires of this world. That is it. The fruits of the Spirit stand tall as a wake-up call. We will never be perfect. But if we are not growing in the areas as defined by the fruits of the Spirit, and are instead growing in the areas of the flesh, then we need to wake up. We need to take notice. We need to take action. The Bible says these things will kill you. The Bible says cut these things off. If you cannot, then maybe freedom in Christ is something you do not have yet. Maybe this 4th of July you turn from your momentary freedoms you have in the flesh and toward your Savior who offers freedom for eternity. So our call from God for the gospel is to not have Christian freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. Next is what this freedom leads to. Christian freedom means you serve. So it's not an opportunity to do whatever you want, but rather an opportunity to serve. What does this mean? Well, Paul actually says, through love, serve one another. And then he points to what Jesus says is most important, that is to love God and love one another. So this freedom we have in Christ leads to loving and serving others. Why? Well, the reason in our context of our passage would be because the Spirit of God is leading you away from the list of flesh desires and toward the fruits of the Spirit. These are the key to serving and loving one another. The next reason would be because this is how Jesus lived. He told us to love others like He loved us. And His love was to give His life for us. He modeled service for His followers. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. John 13:12, when He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Do we understand that? God on His knees, washing the dirtiest part of a person's body in this context. God on His knees for His followers. So this is how our Savior lived, and He said, "Follow me." He said, "Do what I do." That did not mean take your salvation and walk away. It meant live out your salvation just as your Savior did for you. The other reason would be, not only did Jesus call us to live like He did, He commands it. John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So not only have we been transformed by the gospel and given the same Spirit that Jesus walked around with, which should be enough to compel us to serve, we also have it commanded to us. So the question would be, do we have service in our life? Are we serving others? Through this church, through the many avenues in your life, where does serving land on our list of priorities? Where is lending a helping hand on our list of priorities? Now, often response to this is an immediate pointing back to what we just talked about. Pastor, you just said we cannot earn our salvation. It's gifted to us. Lack of service in my life does not affect my salvation. To this I say you are right. Your salvation is a gift from God that you cannot lose. There was no gift receipt. It is yours forever and always, but. There's always a but. Remember James. He said claiming faith without it revealing itself in your life is foolish. This faith is dead. Those are his words. Hear the words of John, 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Hear the words of Jesus. This is lengthy, so bear with me. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will then sit in His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer him, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Do we hear the words of our Savior? We're indeed saved by Jesus Christ alone. Faith alone in the Son alone saves you. Nothing else in this world can offer this. But our Savior says, if it is not apparent in your life that you are His, then you have a problem. A problem that needs to be addressed. Service does not save you, but it reveals your Savior works within you. I assume there were many that were separated as goats that looked around and said, "Why are we over here? We were in church. We were baptized. Why?" Because their faith was merely claimed and not real. James calls their faith dead. Jesus says that kind of faith leads to eternal punishment. Claiming this kind of faith would be like me telling you this: I have a whole backyard full of ripe tomatoes. Then you would say, "How do they taste?" Well, I haven't had any. How do they look? I haven't really seen them. Can we come by and see them and maybe pick some of them? You can't really see them either. If I said this, you guys would walk away from this conversation saying, "That guy doesn't have any tomatoes. Hasn't tasted them, hasn't used them, hasn't really seen them, and others cannot see them. They are not real," is your conclusion. In the same way, your Christian freedom is given to you by God. And it is paid for by the Son of God, and it is driven in your life by the Spirit of God. But you must be able to see it in your life. Claiming faith without a life that reveals it is foolish and makes you a goat. Goats have but one purpose, eternal punishment. Sheep hear his voice. Sheep follow him. His sheep begin to look like him. Never perfect, but always working, striving, and serving. What does your life tell you? As we come to a close this morning, and we leave here and go our separate ways for the activities of the day, we can look back and see our Christian freedom. Paul says this freedom is not like the freedom you find in this country. The freedom you will celebrate today. This freedom is a calling from God to your very soul. This freedom comes as a gift, and it resides in you as God's Spirit. We also seen that this Christian freedom is not a freedom to do whatever you want. It's not a freedom to sin. It actually frees you from the list of fleshly desires we looked at today. Everyone can find themselves on that list, and everyone with faith in Jesus finds himself freed from that list. Not driven by the flesh, and though not perfect, we find ourselves closer and closer to those fruits of the Spirit that Paul points to. These fruits stand as a wake-up call for all who find themselves driven by the flesh instead. Finally, we've seen this Christian freedom, and these fruits all point to our lives being changed. All point to our lives being filled with love and service instead of the desires of the world. James said it must be this way. So did John, so did Paul, so did Jesus. Sheep or goats are the options, and your life reveals the difference. Living like you are saved, but never actually being changed by Jesus, only fools yourself. It only fools you, and the results remain for eternity. Nothing greater at stake in your lives than this. What will it be? As we pray and sing, remember, you may not always have the freedoms you enjoy in your country. Things change all the time. Also remember that although this life and these freedoms are fleeting, your Christian freedom is forever. Maybe you need to come and pray for some desire of the flesh to be removed from your life. Maybe you need to come and pray for some illness or some decision. Come pray for our country on this Independence Day. Maybe you need to come and pray for your Christian freedom, your salvation, your eternity. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And this freedom we discussed today will be yours for eternity. Whatever's on your heart, come as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day again. We ask as we leave this place, we do have your guidance and your protection. We do leave safely and go about the travels and events of the day safely. And Father, we pray that we leave this place with your words on our heart, with knowing what you have called us to do and putting it in place in our lives. Applying it to our lives. Father, we know the gospel is needed by everyone. We need it to fuel us. And if not a Christian, it is needed to save you. The power of God is in the Word of God. You must hear the gospel and repent. His Spirit must reside in you. We need to remember these things as we leave this place because we go into a world that needs Jesus. And as we celebrate our independence, our freedom in this country, what a great country it is, help us remember our Christian freedom. Help us remember that everyone around us needs this freedom too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.